I'm Kendall Rawls with the Rawls Group, and I'm here to welcome you to our discussion. Consider us your tribe of sorts, where we chat about all things related pretty much to anything. As your tribe, we provide five different perspectives from our unique view of the world. We are pioneers, trailblazers, go-getters, power professionals, marvelous moms, friends, dog lovers, and so much more. Our discussions span from leadership, business, relationships, and personal growth, and everything in between. Here we go.
Everyone, well, given the time of year that we're at, it's apropos to talk a little bit about the holiday season here with the tribe, and specifically how I think a lot of times, especially with us as women and women with children, women with spouses, women in work, we put a lot of, I think, extra pressure on ourselves to perform. We set higher expectations on ourselves, I think, sometimes because we're hosting and we're nurturing and we're doing all the shopping. I just said to my husband, who's sitting behind me last night, I said to him, thank you. I said, you're welcome. You don't have to think anything about Christmas because I do all of the Christmas shopping. But I just wrote an article. He gave me a thumbs up. I just wrote an article for my friend Kendall, who did a fantastic series on this, talking about the pressures that we put on ourselves, because at the time of year that naturally evokes this feeling of celebration and joy and togetherness and wanting to be fun and happy and cheery. But the reality is that for some of us, there's this inner feeling of a lot of stress we're putting on ourselves. So Kendall, I didn't know if maybe you want to talk a little bit about the series that you started, which I think is very, I want to back it up a little bit. I think it's great because it shows a vulnerability of stuff that we don't naturally talk about. I mean, it's a time of year that you don't talk about those types of things, but it is something that's very present within all of us. So Kendall, first, I want to applaud you for actually putting it out there. And now I'm going to kick it over to you to see if maybe you want to talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah, sure. So coming into this time of year, it was a little bit before Thanksgiving. I mean, I think decorations are now going up around October. The Hallmark, Netflix, Prime Video, any sort of streaming service, Christmas movies are starting around October. And I have historically been a big holiday movie person. I, over the last couple of years, have not focused on that much because they just begin to frustrate me. I trip over a piece of gum and I meet my one true love. And now I have to change my entire life to move into this really tiny town because that's where he lives. And there's no sort of negotiation as to how we could both live our lives equally. But anyway.
Kendall, I actually have to stop you there because Kendall and I were speaking together at this beautiful little town in, is it New Hope, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And that's Peddler's Village. And Kendall's like, watch, I'm going to meet the guy of my dreams right here. And he's going to ask me to give up everything and move to this Hallmark town.
Not on my watch, Kendall. Not on my watch. I mean, I'm all for the guy. I'm not for you. I'm not going to let you move to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no, it's too cold. I need a beach. So it made me begin to think about the balance of the excitement of the year, the magic of this time of year, and some of those movies are lovely because they talk about how you can't find magic anywhere, and it makes you think about what could happen, especially thinking about the new year, which Brigitte, by the way, does an amazing mind boarding session, and we'll put a link underneath this as a resource. So it's the balance of the magic. And then there's also, it brings on a lot of expectations about what you want it to be and what you hope it to be. And oftentimes, I mean, it's not a Hallmark movie. There's people involved, there's humanity involved. There's, from a business perspective, there's the year-end closing of the books. There's trying to shove in holiday parties and family and still work all within a tiny period of time. And so there's a lot of stress. And there's stress amongst family, there's stress amongst business teams, there's stress personally. There's how can I enjoy a holiday party without eating or drinking too much? I just feel like it's a time of year where there's a lot of contradictions beating themselves a lot. And so that's what inspired the conversation I provided. It's a video that we can also link to, where I provided four tips. And these are ones that I am constantly practicing. One of the things that I want to make sure as I share them, no one thinks that I have mastered them just because I'm talking about them. But one is practice the pause, believe in the breath, which I have this back here. And yes, I know it's misspelled, but that's how I roll. Another one is understand your locus of control, which we all know, you know, what you can control and what you can't control. Another one was arrive grounded. And the discussion, which we can even touch upon here, was leveraging the belief table. And if you're showing up in an environment where people are shoving or placing stereotypes on you like mashed potatoes, and you begin to believe it, the example I shared was being selfish, of create a belief table of how you're not selfish, of how you are, and turning around of how you are considerate, of how you are a creative problem solver. And then the fourth one was, and we just talked about this in a previous episode, practicing the four agreements. And then I offered a fifth one. It was a bonus because it was Christmas, of grace. So those were things that I had just based upon reflecting about the highly emotional and expectations of the holiday, of just four tips that people could practice to create the future that they want. And I will turn it over because I have said a lot of words.
Man, if we just go with expectations around this time of the year, right? If we just go with that, that already, for me, creates some sort of, not anxiety, but I always want to roll my eyes because I'm not here to live up to those expectations. And thank God I'm at a point in my life where I can say, and it's easy for me to say that because, you know, most of my family is not here in the States. They're not around us. So I can easily say I can choose to be with them or choose not to be with them. I don't have to have them over to my house because that would mean that they would all have to get into an airplane and fly over. So again, I'm saying this with a grain of salt, but you know, expectations are premeditated resentments. And the less we can put our own expectations on ourselves, but also set the people around us, mostly family and very close friends, on their expectations on us, I think the easier it would get. I mean, there were times, to speak of grace, Kendall, where in my business, I felt like I gotta, you know, buy presents for everyone. I gotta send out all of those Christmas cards. I gotta there's a lot of I got to and I need to and I have to. And I gotta check all of the, you know, good mannerisms around the holidays and Christmas party and decorating, where I didn't even feel like doing it. And yet I did it. And, you know, another thing that you said is grounding ourselves. But before I can ground myself, I got to take a step back and go, okay, out of all of those things, what do I really want to do? And for what purpose do I want to do them? To please others?
Brigida, I think that's great. You brought up a memory for me. So I was an extremely independent, you know, career-focused woman before I met my husband. And when I met him, I'd been single for a long time and came into his life, and there's four children that I call my own. And I transferred overnight from being career-focused to learning how to balance into this now being a partner and a parental figure. And I'll never forget my first Christmas that we were all together as a family. And my husband and I were just talking about the other night, and I put this pressure on myself to try to make it this most fantastic Christmas for these kids and for my husband and for myself. I think part of it was selfishly for me because I hadn't had anybody to spend Christmas with in for so many years. But knowing what the kids were going through, you know, I was brand new in the situation. And I recall those feelings of, wow, I went through all that effort and all I had to do was be present. So all of these activities were pulling me from actually being present, which is all that was needed for myself, from my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, lucky him, and the kids. So it's, and then you fast forward even a couple more years as you get more involved in the relationship. And I remember feeling all this pressure of doing Christmas cards and having to promote out, you know, how wonderful everything is. And that was one feeling. But then fast forward a couple of years after that, when I made the decision to stop doing Christmas cards because it was just too much work, I remember that feeling initially of like, I'm a failure because I'm not sending out Christmas cards. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what's it matter? If people want to know what's going on, give a call. I'll have a conversation with you. And then the same thing happened recently, not holiday related, but with me and social media. I made a break from social media probably 3 or 4 months ago. And I had a significant amount of FOMO going on with that, just like you do. And you break some of these other habits that just aren't healthy for you. And it's just, it brings up this feelings of, wow, we force ourselves to do a whole lot of stuff that keeps us from being present, which is most important.
So I gotta tell you, I'm very proud of myself over the years. Don't really care. This is what I care about. Twice baked potatoes, prime rib, and green bean casserole. Okay. Those three things in sitting around a table with whomever shows up and to eat. I don't care if the silverware matches because it won't. I don't care if the plates match because they won't. Because my plates come from my grandmother, my mother, I don't even know. And because I'm about reuse, recycle, repurpose. And here's what I learned. Jeannie used to send out 500 calendar cards every year. 500. I didn't do any of it except for press buttons and order it. I had a little girl that lived across the street that would help me do it. I had other people. So if I can say one word, it's going to be delegate. Delegate. And I stopped worrying about how clean my house was because there was a police officer up in Lexington, Massachusetts that said to me, you women put way too much pressure on yourselves. And we went to high school together. Like, I've known him forever. And he was in doing a detail for us when I worked at the bank. And he said, you put way too much stress and pressure on your house. I don't care if there's a dust bunny rolling across your floor. I don't care if you got a little pile of laundry over there, as long as it's not your female laundry, right? And even still, I'm just going to walk on by it. Like, I don't care. And he goes, and I think most people don't care. He said, so could you tell me why my wife put so much pressure on herself for all of that? And I said, I work at a bank. And I said, I don't know. You're going to have to ask her that question. However, you just alleviated a whole ton of pressure for me. Thank you very much. And I don't take it on. I don't take it on. And I'm grateful for that. My sister freaks out. I don't know. I guess it's not that I don't care because I come from that big caring, but it's about having plenty of food for whoever comes over. No one will be alone for Christmas.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeannie. For me, it's about spending time with people, spending quality time with family and friends. And when I first started going to India, that trip would happen in January. So in December, when we're getting ready to decorate for Christmas and all of that, I'd be thinking about when I was taking the stuff down out of the attic, all the work it was going to take to put it back up. And I said, why am I doing this? Yeah. So I stopped. Last year, my husband Joe had a Christmas tree farm in Maine. So he is all about having the live Christmas tree, you know, up to here. And it's got to be live. So last year they were having a Christmas tree shortage. And it was right after Thanksgiving, and we tried to go find a tree, and there were none. So we ended up buying this little Norfolk pine, and I put it in a pot and decorated it. It was like my Snoopy Christmas tree. And I was perfectly happy with that. It was just gorgeous. I loved it. And we have it. It's still alive, y'all. And we're going to use it again this year. So, you know, and this year is going to be very, very different Christmas for us because we're going to Ireland to spend Christmas with family. So, you know, the whole flying thing and getting over there, and it'll be different. And the pressure is different because we'll be spending time with family in a very concentrated space for a couple of weeks. So it'll be a lot of fun because they are a lot of fun. and I know we'll have a fabulous time.
Cindy, I don't know if people will be able to see it.
Oh, beautiful.
I wish I could share my screen. It must be a Maine thing because the two charts behind me are Midcoast Maine. My husband's family retired there and we vacation up there and we have to have a big live tree every year.
It's a New England thing. It's a New England thing because they're already, my kids are already looking. They don't even live with me. And they're like, where's the tree? Where are you going to put the tree? Going to have a tree? Here's the most important part for me. You know, we're going to go down to my dad's, but that's normal for me. That's like my home away from home. The most important part was, can anybody see this? So it's a second and a third grader that is not going to get presents unless Jeannie and John, my husband, go pick them up some presents and get them over to them. And I usually pick, you know, kids off of different trees from different areas. I usually take on 5 to 10 every year. And that's what Christmas has turned in, is to have a kid have a Christmas he wouldn't have, or her, she wouldn't have had. Even though now I don't know what half the toys are anymore. I'm like, what is this?
I have to applaud you for that and thank you, because I was one of those kids back in the day growing up in the community that I grew up in. So it means the world to kids when the communities come together and actually do that. So thank you.
And I can't remember who said it best or who said it first. I want to say it was in one of Stephen Covey's books, keeping the main thing the main thing. How do we keep the main thing during this time of year? And not putting, because I know pressure is not the main thing. And yet we're so, as specifically as women, we're so good at doing that. But I know that's not what this time of year is about.
Kendall, you are muted.
Did it again. Compliments. Perhaps if you're struggling with some things, to Brigitte's point, write down what the main thing is and keep that in front of you. Post it on your refrigerator or your mirror in your bathroom, or anchor it in anytime I'm trying to remember something, I think about it and I press my ring. And so just find a way to anchor it in your body or around you. So whenever something distracts you, you go squirrel, you can keep the main thing the main thing.
And I want to emphasize that the main thing can be yourself. And there's, you know, we tend to feel like taking care of self or wanting to focus on self is selfish. And I like to use the mantra that it's actually selfless, because when we take care of ourselves first, we can then best take care of everyone else. So if the main thing is you, then lean into that and remind yourself that you're being the most selfless person. And what was it? Was it in the Four Agreements that there was that message about being selfish? I'll come up with it, Kendall, and I'll put it here for Tool. But there was a very good saying about being selfish that I think is very apropos for this, especially for those of us out there that might be struggling this time of year and want to focus on ourselves, but feel like, oh, that's being selfish.
I hear you. So we're wrapping up on the time. Is there anything, Amy, was that your closing thought? Anyone else have a closing thought that you want to leave?
I do. I do. You know, I want you to all think about being an excellent receiver. You know, sometimes people find something. Maybe they weren't out shopping for you. Because this is what happens to me. I don't go shopping specifically and I'll trip over something. I'll go, oh my gosh, Kendall. This just reminds me of Kendall. And I would grab something. Be an excellent receiver. It's taken me years to be an excellent receiver.
That's good. Yeah, the love. I was watching one of those Christmas movies the other night, and I'm going to completely butcher the saying, but it's the love you can receive is also the love you can give. And so if you can't receive it, then you're also stunting the amount of love that you can give. Any other final thoughts? All right. Well, happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.
appreciate you listening in. Do you have something you would like to chat about with us or maybe chime in on? Contact Amy, Brigida, Jeannie, Cindy, or Kendall at the email addresses listed on the screen. Or submit a topic you would like for us to discuss by emailing Kendall Rawls at kendall@rawlsgroup.com. We would love your feedback. Thank you to our 5 excellent coaches for sharing insight and perspectives and showing the power of vulnerability. Your Tribe is produced by the Rawls Group Business Succession Planners.